One of the questions that always fascinates me, or maybe torments me, is why is it that some Christians seem to just do so much good work and have such amazing encounters with God and seem to just accelerate in their faith constantly, while so many others limp and struggle? You know, I talk to so many people who just say, oh, I try and pray, but it's just so hard. I never hear people talk about eating that way. Try and eat, but I can't find time. You know, whereas you look at some other people, like some of the great saints, people like Saint Thérèse Lisieux, she died at 24, and then she was declared a saint, and then declared a doctor of the church because she just understood God so well. You know, in our recent history, I think about 1944, a young French boy by the name of Marcel Callot died. He was 21, died in one of the concentration camps in Germany. He's now a blessed. He's on his way to being canonized as a saint. People who just seem to just get it. And so quickly, the whole of their life was just given to God in prayer, given to others in love. Whereas so many others can go for years and years and just struggle. And this is my question. What's the difference? What did they understand that we haven't quite got yet? Now, as I said, I don't think I've got the complete answer. I'm still wrestling with my own life and everything. But I think something at the heart of this is the fact that they understood that they were dead, whereas we think that we're alive. This is the bit I've got to try and explain. That when you read the scriptures, particularly St. Paul, he comes from this very strong perspective where he says, we've sinned. Now, most of us think that sin is just a little tiny transgression. You know, I ate a little bit too much yesterday. That's okay. God will forgive me. Whereas Paul is quite clear that he understands, well, sin is actually death. It's death to the soul. You know, the way it's sometimes explained, if you imagine that you were hooked up to a life support system and the only thing keeping you alive was that heart machine, keeping your heart going, keeping fluids pumping through your body, but you hated being a slave to this life support machine. You desperately desired freedom and autonomy. So you pull out a knife and you just start cutting the tubes. You're free, but you're dead. That's basically what sin was. Yeah, that's kind of St. Paul's idea. That we are oblivious to exactly how much damage we've done to ourselves as a human race. We write it off as small little transgressions because there's always someone else who's done worse than us. So I'm not that bad. But Paul is really clear, saying we've died. Compared to what we should be, compared to what we were created to be in the beginning, this is not living. We've got to be really clear on that. I think that is the starting point that made the saints different to the rest of us. Because we are coming from the perspective that actually I'm doing pretty well. God just makes my life just that 1% better. You know, God's going to give me eternal life, which is probably just that tiny little bit better than the paradise I've built for myself here on earth. So we're not hungry. We're not yearning for it at all. We don't really think we need it. Do we actually need a savior? Well, not really, because we think we can do it ourselves. We can be good people. You will never really know Jesus Christ from that perspective. Whereas what Paul is coming from is this perspective where he says, well, assuming that you are dead, you need life. You really need life, desperately, because otherwise you're dead. And so there is this deep hunger inside of you to try and find the source of life. You know, in the letter to the Romans, Paul uses this image when he talks about baptism. He says, Everyone who is baptized has entered into a share with the death of Christ. We have been buried with Christ in our baptism. And we have then been raised to life with his resurrection. So what he's trying to say is, there is nothing in me naturally which really lives. What I think is life is just limping along, surviving, existing. But in Jesus Christ, I enter into true life. I enter into the resurrected life. If you go back to that image where we've been hooked up to this life support machine, we've cut all the cords out of our desire for freedom, St. Paul is saying that in baptism, we reconnect ourselves. We hook ourselves back up to the source of life, and once again, we live. That's the essence of Christianity. And this, I would say, is the heart of what Jesus is trying to say here in the gospel. Everyone who believes in me will live. To believe in Jesus Christ, that is eternal life. Now he goes further to this point. And this is the point which, sadly, many Christians struggle with. That Christ is not talking about this on a purely spiritual level. He's not talking about this in just some level where we say we believe in him and we're reconnected. It's as though Jesus recognizes how deep that sense of death actually is within us. And so he actually comes to us physically. He feeds us. He physically, tangibly reconnects us. And so this is where he says what to the Jewish mind is absolutely scandalous. Where he's saying, anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world. Now, if you've been a Catholic all your life, that phrase will wash over you and mean probably not a lot at all. You're like, oh yeah, we've heard this, we sang the song, we know the whole idea. But for the Jewish people, this was absolute blasphemy. Now you've got to kind of understand the context to this. If you go back to the book of Genesis, the story of Noah, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. After the great flood, after the water subsides, God creates a covenant with Noah. And at the heart of that covenant, he says, no one is to eat the blood of an animal. So whenever you kill an animal to eat it, you cannot have the blood. Why? Because for their understanding, the blood was the life of the animal. So if you were to consume the blood of the sheep, you were taking into yourself the life of a sheep, and therefore you kind of become a sheep. It's kind of the idea, you know, that you become, well, you are what you eat. You know, we still say this today. It was a very strong understanding. And so within the Jewish law, that clearly was a point that you weren't allowed to go across that line. It was enshrined in the law. And so here you have Jesus come, and not only does he say something which even to our ears is scandalous, you know, that you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, but for the Jewish people, he's actually violating the whole law. He's violating the covenant given to Noah. And yet there is the essence of life. Because to drink the blood is to take within yourself the life of that person. So what Jesus is trying to say here is, if I am God in your midst, you take within yourself the very life of God. And this is where our life now comes from. We've got to sort of connect the dots here. Okay, you're dead because of sin. As a human race, we willfully chose to cut ourselves off from life, thinking that we could live by ourselves. We now come to the place of recognizing that we can't do it ourselves. because we have no natural life within us, anything beyond the simple animal matter of ourselves. But now God gives us his life. It's like this ultimate transplant. He puts his life within us, and his life is immortal. His life is eternal. So you now live differently to everyone else. Absolute transformation. This is what the saints realized, and this is why their life was so transformed. I need you to try and connect the dots inside your head, because we know this. We know the basic theory. We know the theology, but sadly, so few people have ever actually realized, well, if this is the case, therefore, everything should be different. Try to think it through. So often I hear people say they try to love. You know, we try to love because we know we're meant to be good. And sadly, this is the way Christianity is so often presented. Be nice, be good, because that'll get you into heaven. But you can't do that if you are dead. You simply will run out of love. You only have a certain capacity to love, and then you run out. And so we spend our whole life looking around trying to see who is actually worthy of our love. Who's going to be grateful? Who's going to appreciate it? Who's going to do the best with what I give? Otherwise, I'm not going to give it to you because I'll run out. This whole mindset is coming from the idea that I'm limited. I've got nothing. I need to preserve what I have. The saints thought very differently, because they realized that they now lived with the life of God. As St. Paul says, it is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. It's his blood flowing through my veins. It's his life. It's his love flowing through me. And that love has no limits. The more I give, the more I've got. This was the understanding of the early church. And St. Paul says it right here. I don't know whether you realized what was just read before. No one got up and walked out horrified, so you obviously weren't paying attention. He says, try then to imitate God as children of his that he loves, and follow Christ by loving as he loved you. Does that horrify you? This is your commandment. This is what you're meant to do. Love each other the way that Christ loved you. That's how he loved you. He hung upon a cross. He gave everything, poured out every last drop of his blood, and didn't expect anything back. He didn't hang on the cross saying, I'm not going to go through with this until you're grateful. He just gave and gave and gave until there was nothing left in him. And here St. Paul is saying, that's your calling. To love as Christ loved you. You cannot do that. That is impossible. Unless there is a different life flowing through your veins. Unless you are tapped into the source of all life. Unless you are surrendered to it. Given over to it. And I think that's the point of conflict, because a lot of us know this, but we don't actually want to give ourselves over to it. We know that God can do this work in us. We know that the Holy Spirit can transform us, but we're still there looking at the life support machine saying, I don't think I want to be a slave to that. We've got to work out that fundamental question before anything will make sense to us. We need to work out whether we really want to live, knowing that that means being dependent upon God, knowing that we have to come every single day in prayer, hungering, yearning, because we know that we simply cannot live without him. But can you make that fundamental choice to say, God, I need you? Because I want to know what life really is. That's the grace on offer. That's the grace that we encounter when we come here to the altar, to the Eucharist. And every time we come, Christ just keeps giving himself to us. He knows that we're indifferent. He knows that we're undecided. He knows that we're so reluctant to really surrender ourselves to him, and yet he just gives. Hoping for that day when we will actually surrender ourselves and say, Lord, be my life. It's fear that holds us back. It's the fear of knowing that if we really give ourselves to this, we will become one of those freaks. If we really allow ourselves to be loved by God, we will be compelled to spend the rest of our life loving. And deep down, we don't want to do that. We would much rather live the dream that everyone else is chasing and live in complete denial of the fact that it is just a dream. It's purely a fantasy. And yet here on offer is reality. The thing that will truly satisfy our souls, that we will be loved and then we'll be able to give love and spend our whole life giving. So I want to encourage you as we come into the Eucharist to really pray that your eyes will be opened to see what is happening here, to see how much is given to you, how much is poured out, to see what you're being invited into, that Christ stands here inviting you into life. And have the courage to dare to step into that. Because your life may be profoundly different, and I can guarantee that everyone else's life around you will also be radically changed if you make that choice.